The current spoiler warning level is sunset.
Friends and folks, for this episode, you're looking at a spoiler warning level of sunset. So you might fairly be wondering what the hell that means. It's complicated. At the beginning of this episode, it's pure blue skies. We're talking about a machine from the original Mobile Suit Gundam. But then we turn to Mobile Suit variations, we touch on a very unimportant machine from Igloo, talk about some Zeta-era spin-offs, then we go to F-91 and F-91 spin-offs, and then we go to Unicorn. At that point, there will be a red alert to let you know. And then finally, we talk about a Unicorn side story. So I would say for most GGP listeners, listening up until the red alert for Unicorn should be fine. If you're extra sensitive, you could tap out earlier. I'll give a secondary ping before we start talking about Igloo, and you should stop there. But the machine from Igloo is really not noteworthy, and I don't think it spoils anything narratively or mechanically. All that said, please make the decision that works best for you, and please enjoy the episode. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to the home for all things Gundam robots. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media, and this is Mechanista NG. I did that intro weird.
You did it much more concise than usual.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's not
I'm Dylan. I'm here like I always am.
And we're joined by a very special guest. Grant, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hello, everybody. It's so exciting to be here. It's interesting because I am, I feel like, a little Gundam baby. I only started getting into things, I guess I'm coming up on my two-year anniversary because there was just something in the air. Until I started getting into it, I didn't know it was because of the 40th anniversary.
Oh, I think it's Minovsky Particles, actually.
And that could be it. So now I'm really enjoying it here, and now getting to like participate in an element of fanish creation that I do enjoy listening to. So I'm very flattered, very thankful that you answered my proposition, I guess.
Of course. It's always nice to have your fresh perspectives. Mm-hmm.
It also means I have no idea what sort of like rhetorical landmine I'm about to step in with. I don't know which of my opinions are popular or which are snake nests. I don't know.
Look, the thing is, that's a good thing. Do not engage with the Gundam fandom. It's
okay,
bad.
Okay, no, listen, we can just get right into it. Okay, first of all, is the Hyakushiki a Gundam?
I don't know why that matters. It's rad as heck. Aha. I love it. It's
good answer.
It's the next master grade on my really want really bad list is the 2.0 Hyakushiki.
Yep. It's a good one too. I can vouch for that model.
Okay. But, what other controversial questions do we have? double head crest, good or bad?
Like double Zeta style.
Like with the two V fins, yeah.
I mean, if it works, if it's in harmony with the rest of the design, then yes. Like in the Double Zeta's case, in the God Gundam's case, yes, absolutely, thumbs up.
See, all good okay. answers, Six. You're not gonna trip Grant up.
I'll come up with something. What's the best mobile armor?
Oh, the best mobile armor is I do love a Big Row. I love a Big Row.
Big Row is good.
Man, okay, these are good answers. Good. All right, so no further questions.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. I have been successfully hazed, I guess. Wow.
There are two ways to be successfully hazed. One is to give the right answers. One is to give the wrong answers and just lean in, as previous guests perhaps have.
See, some of these I don't know what the wrong answer would be, though. Like, well, no, there are some wrong answers I can think of, actually. You know what? No, that's fair. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
Grant, mm-hmm. In appreciation of your interest, we have put together a list of 10 here.
Yeah.
Of
thank
designs
you.
That speak to you, hopefully. and I could roll the D10 if you want to. You can.
My dice are in a different room, unfortunately.
Okay, okay. For insulation purposes, yeah. For protection. All right, well then here we go. We got number 10.
Oh, okay.
The RX-75-4 gun tank.
A friend of mine is going to be very happy to hear this.
All right, the gun tank. So the gun tank was one of the first mobile weapons created by the Federation during their whole Project V, or Operation V, Project V, whatever. Project V sounds good in my head. Anyway, But the gun tank, as is evident by its name, is not really like a standard mobile suit. It's a tank what has a body, which I like it, but also, you know, it's a tank what has a body for some reason. And
what if an ancient Greek poet was transported to World War II and reinvented the centaur?
Yes, I could see that. It's so the gun tank, much like all the other Operation V things, does use like it has the core fighter. It's made of like three parts. Which the thing that I'm always wondering is like if they're all made of like sections like that, could you theoretically just like slap the gun tank's legs onto the Gundam?
Because doesn't that happen at some point?
Does that happen? I can't remember.
Or I believe not in the show, but I think in some spin-off media, it must have.
It feels like it should have, because, yeah, they are... It would work that way. But, yeah, so it's got, you know, it's got the little core fighter inside of it. And the gun tank is... It's basically an artillery platform, because, you know, it's got two big cannons on it, and then it's got, like, little dinky guns in the hands that look like they should be big, but never really proved to be as effective as they should be. because, you know, they're basically slightly better Vulcans. Another thing that every mobile suit has that, in my opinion, should be utilized more often, but that's just me. But yeah, and the gun tank does work in space. It may not have legs, but much like the Zeong, you don't need legs in space. It's fine. Gun tank in space is consistently one of the funniest things in the show to me for some reason. I don't know why. Just the idea of deploying something with tank treads in space is really funny. But
well, and like part of the reason it has tank treads is because it has those huge guns. Yeah. And so in space, it kind of like you're just gonna spin tail over tea kettle if you fire those damn things.
No, you just fire them both at the same time. That way, you just launch in a single direction really far back instead.
But they're on the top of the suit. You would spin.
Oh, I guess you would still oh my god, yeah, you'd still rotate. And if you only fired one at a time, it'd be even more awful, because then you're like rotating diagonally. Not a fun thing to pilot.
High auto filling the core fighter with vomit.
That's why he's got such a inferiority complex. He was just stuck with the worst piece of equipment. It's not his fault.
He was stuck with the worst piece of equipment. This is a fact.
Yeah, because like you know, you get the gun cannon, right? And
if Kai and Hayato switch places, like the 1 year war would have ended in October. It would have.
God, just. Poor Kai stuck in the gun. He'd probably just die, honestly. but you look at the gun cannon, right? And it's like, okay, this thing has the two cannons too, but it has legs, it has a beam rifle. You know, it's kind of a respectable mobile suit. Then you have the gun tank, and it's just like, what the fuck is this?
One thing I've noticed just looking through in the armament section of its wiki page, apparently those large over-the-shoulder cannons have a firing distance of 260 kilometers?
Yeah, which, sure, that's cool, but also, like, with the way combat works.
just for reference, if you can't picture 260 kilometers in your head, let's say I have a gun tank in my Chicago, Illinois home. I could overshoot the University of Illinois in Champaign, Urbana. That is less than 260 kilometers away.
Yeah, But that's entirely useless, is the thing with the gun tank, because the whole Minovsky particle thing.
I think I could shell
thing...
Toledo from here if I had a gun tank.
Like, you don't have combat at that range in Gundam. Like, that's one of the whole conceits of mobile suits. So they put this really, you know, really strong gun on the top of it that can fire really far. But, what are you going to aim at? Like, are you just going to bombard randomly? Like, that's not... You can't... It feels like almost like before Minovsky particles, before mobile suits were a thing, like this would be an excellent vehicle, but with the advent of, oh, battlefields are really short range now because everyone is spreading, you know, crappy energy or particles everywhere that like obscures, you know, vision and everything. Like,
and never mind the previously mentioned, the battlefield is often in space.
Yes, that as well. Mm-hmm. Yes. Though at least in space, I guess theoretically, you have an infinite firing range. You just shoot and it just goes. But yeah, like...
We're going to snipe the Jupiter fleet from side two. Let's go.
God, just planning all... Just having like a supercomputer hooked up to the gun tank so you can calculate it. Just firing a single shell that's hopefully going to hit the perfect spot. God, the Jupiter Energy Fleet. I wish we got more of them in Gundam. Anyway, sorry, side note.
But yeah, there's an alternate version of history where during a fight, Hayato misses and Zeta never happens.
God.
Because Soraka's just gone.
Soraka's just hits the Jupiter, the Jupitress, hits one of the fuel, you know, deposits on there. The ship's just gone. Just a few months after the one-year war has ended.
Just out of nowhere. One of the things that's beautiful to me about the gun tank is it is a bad design, and that's just like, sometimes it's good to have bad designs.
Oh yeah,
God bless.
Yeah, for sure. you can't appreciate the good designs as much if you don't have things that are really silly.
I mean, it came out of an experimental project, right? And you can't advance things unless some of your experiments fail.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what science is. Yeah.
Right, you only get really brave ideas by sometimes being brave in the wrong ways. You're like, okay, common sense says we shouldn't be able to build this suit with this kind of armor. It also says we shouldn't have guns whose range is so far we can't see what we're shooting. One of those ideas worked.
Yeah, and like, you know, you even look at like real life, you know, military vehicle development. And when you look at real life military vehicle development, a lot of times there are these pitfalls where you spend, you know, billions, if not trillions of dollars on a project that's doomed to fail, but you've already put so much money into it that it's like, well, we have to keep it going. You know, this isn't quite... I would say the gun tank is more successful than some of those projects, at least. It got fielded for combat, you know.
It probably shouldn't have, but, you know.
Yeah, well, that's, you know... It's fine.
An alternate version where the white base has the fucking, like, has the original version of the M1 Bradley.
God.
Fighting vehicle.
God. M1 Bradley. Anyway, but yeah, in the gun tank, it's so funny with, like, later things, right? Because, like, even in the original show, it's shown to be, like, you know, it's pretty stiff. It's just, like, it's basically a tank with a turret that is a person. Instead of a normal turret. Like, that's what the whole top half is. But it's so funny to me that later, like, developments, like, model kits and such are like, oh, we have to, like, you know, add gimmicks. So you start adding, like, quote-unquote leg mobility to the treads where they can, like, kick out and such. It's so good.
Heads up, this is where we start talking about the machine from Igloo.
I'm glad
that's definitely in canon, right? That was developed from that weird tank at the end of Igloo 3.
Oh, God, yeah.
Or Igloo Season 2, which was also Season 3, because...
Or something?
Hildolfer, yeah, that, I...
Yeah, see, that's got justification.
I don't like thinking about Igloo. I don't like thinking about it. I forgot that might be where they got the whole gun tank thing, isn't it? Shoot. But yeah, like, it's amusing, though, to me. Just very funny to put, like, a fully articulated human man on top of some tank legs. And they don't even give it hands, too, right? Like, that's the funniest thing. It's got little gun hands. So, like, it's just so interesting. Like, I guess you could see it as the Federation also, like, you know, we know that they were dismissive of mobile suits early on. We know the whole thing with them is like, oh, those, they're a gimmick, what? They're stupid. So maybe, like, you can kind of read into this being the Federation going, well, mobile suits have some elements that are okay, but ultimately tanks are still what wins the war. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. That's why they kept these elements. And I guess, like, having gun arms that you can, like, rotate and, like, bend and all that and aim in every which way is probably makes sense. It's just so funny, though, because, again, it just is so contrary to, like, what you expect out of mobile suit design.
So, Hank, do you think that the situation was, like, Operation V was, like, the Gundam is the one that Temre built, the gun tank is the one that the Federation generals built, and the gun cannon is the one they, like, collaborated on?
I could kind of see that. Of course, there's, like, a billion different histories of Operation V because, you know, it's an unexplored thing in the anime in its entirety, which means suddenly, you know, much like the Star Wars EU, half the books want to explain where this came from. And the problem with Gundam is they don't care if they contradict one another. So, but yeah, like, in my head, like, elements of the gun tank do really feel like them trying to, like, keep to their own vehicle trends and just going, oh, you know, it's kind of a mobile suit. We got arms. It's fine. It's we're making this because it's expected that we make something like this, but we're trying to make it practical, which practicality doesn't always win out in Gundam, even in UC.
Actually, here.
Oh, man. Okay, I didn't know this until just now. This is one last thing, and then we can move on to what you just posted, Grant. But I haven't seen the compilation movies. Apparently, in the compilation movies, they just destroy the gun tank. They're just like,
yes.
They just decommission the thing and they give them another gun cannon.
Yes. Yep.
That's brutal.
Yeah. It's. Well, I mean, it's clearly lagging behind. It's. Mm. You know. So sadly, in the film compilation, you don't get any gun tank in space moments because by that point they just have another gun cannon. But yeah.
Wow.
And Grant just linked a variant of it that is really funny to me.
This is what I just shared is the RTX 440 ground assault type gun tank, which is featured in, I think, the final episode of the various igloos. That I was thinking of, and like looking at it, yeah, it is very, very clear that they wanted to make a World War II you know, scale model version of the gun tank. It's got its treads.
Sure.
It's got the same stubby little gun arms, and it's just missing the head and the very 70s design elements of the gun tank. Like I love the gun tank's deedly bobs on its Ibo the robot dog head. I love that.
Just has little ears. It's fine.
But the 440 here is going for a very different aesthetic, and so it lacks that entirely.
Yeah, for sure. This is like, so, you know, this being from Igloo, this is when we start getting to like Grognardy type mobile suit design that like I appreciate like in the 80s when like modelers would make these, but I appreciate less by the time we hit Igloo, especially because Igloo is like one of those series that really leans in on like switching everything to being like full on World War II analogy instead of like the more mixed kind of thing going on with the 1 year war. This is definitely one of those things where it's like, oh, wait, you know, we've coded the Federation and Zeon in these ways, so we're going to make all of our mobile suits that we make for it, like, reflect that even more. Which, like I said, I always feel very mixed on, especially, you know, you go, that, it, yeah, well, Igloo is, like, original Gundam, for all of, like, all of the, like, some of the 70s silliness going on, like, the Federation uniforms are, like, it's very Franco-Prussian, right? Like, very Franco-Prussian war. Like, you know, the Federation has, like, the blue uniform similar to, like, the French uniforms and stuff. You've got, like, the Zeon is more Prussian than, like, World War II Germany. And then you know, it starts with 0080, where I don't know who to blame for it. I sometimes blame Izubuchi, but I can't guarantee he's the one who did it. But, you know, where you start slapping on extra, like, German aesthetics that make everything a little wonky. And then you hit Igloo, and that's when it's really leaning into it. Because Igloo, you know... Igloo is all shot like fucking World War II propaganda, is what it's shot like. just in terms of like the tone of it, you know. And it leans into like naming everything German on the Xeon side. It leans into, yeah, like the olive drab, the very like military Federation side of things too. And the ground assault gun tank, though, this thing is a lot, because it, in some ways, it's kind of more ridiculous is the thing, because it's got so many fucking weapons. You upgrade from a 120mm like double set of cannons to one 220mm cannon. You've got the little guns on the hands, like you had mentioned.
It's got bop guns.
Yep, bop guns. I forgot to name those when we were talking about the original gun tank.
Sure. Guns. Okay, that's what they're called.
They also have it also has flamethrowers on them. Yes, they're called the bop guns.
This gun is a bop. Sure, fine.
They also have flamethrowers on them, which is weird. And besides the flamethrowers, you get like a giant set of rockets. You can see them slapped onto like the sides of the treads. Just a big tube of rockets. You've got more like missile tubes on top of the treads, apparently. You can't really see them in the arc too well. And then you get smoke dischargers and stuff. This thing is just like everything. It technically has a mode change, which is very funny, because so it can flatten itself out basically, and for like a weird high speed, quote unquote, like assault mode. And then it has just its normal mode where it's kind of using the front treads like a pair of like almost like feet or legs, like it's lifted up on them. It's really weird. For all my complaints about Igloo, I kind of like it.
The ground assault type is armed and I even acts, I think, in the episode like a video game boss. Like, if there was another Metal Gear Rising DLC, Raiden would have to attack this thing and have to overcome all of its different modes and all of this big bag of tricks in its many, many armaments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. Also, give me one sec. I think my net is being a little funny.
Yeah, you've been cutting out here.
Oh, dang it. Well, at least you have my audio on the recording, but
yeah.
I don't know why it's being a little funny. Weird. Seems like it's okay now, so whatever.
Although I think it's interesting with but going back to the original gun tank, one element that I think speaks to a realistic, or at least communicates realism, whether it is or isn't, is the middle red section, the way it is like symmetrical. It's it's a strange design note that you don't see on anything that is molded to be a body, but it's something you might expect to see on something that is a turret, right? The way that there is that little tummy scoop that is also on the backside as well. And I don't know what that does or what it's for, but it just seems to communicate like something, you know, heavy in need of being braced, and like a nod to realism that mobile suits with legs have less of.
I also really like the vents on it, the heat vents on the back.
Yes.
Because obviously we get heat vents on other mobile suits, but so rarely in shows do we get shots like we do of the gun tank, where it is just like you just see tons of heat just bleeding out of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a smoky boy at times. And
that's also because it has a combination like nuclear and also gas engine.
Yeah, that's also a weird touch compared to every other like mobile suit. Like most mobile suits, you get your fancy like, you know, like nuclear generators basically, with a lot of power in them, and then it's like, oh, by the way, sometimes you have to fill this with gas.
If it won't start, just pull the ripcord a couple of times, it'll get it there.
Just the gun cannon like with its foot braced pulling on the cord.
Now I'm just imagining like the gun tank like reimagined as like some kind of lawnmower for the gun cannon, and I it's like an SD Gundam gag that's now in my head for some reason.
That's what the deedly bobs are. That's the pull cord. Oh,
God damn it. For another take on like a quote unquote realistic gun cannon, much like the ground assault type, there's also the RX-75 gun tank mass production type, which shows up in 8th MS team.
And, yes.
This is also another like it's different in design from like the ground assault type, but it's definitely trying to communicate the same thing of like adding more, you know, realistic elements, like instead of the normal as Grant refers to them, the doodly bobs on the head. You get like really long like actual antenna. You've got, you know, it's just grittier, right? It's the 8th MS team aesthetic on it. Like, it still has the tricolor, but all the colors are a bit more muted and dull. It's got really long cannons, even compared to the original, actually. Just looking at the art for it.
I'm not seeing any range numbers. I don't know if I can shoot Kentucky from my house
with that thing. I'm sure.
Well, they're said to be 120 millimeter low recoil, so I imagine the range is going to be significantly smaller, because I think they're, like, you know, the gun tank ones just sort of like fired, and they did telescope a little bit, but these seem designed to heavily telescope to absorb the shock. Mm-hmm. So I think probably you're looking at Aurora.
Okay. All right. That's not so bad. I got some enemies there. That's fine.
Who doesn't? Aurora's a shithole.
God.
Just kidding. Aurora's fine.
But however long the range is, there is enough punch in these cannons to deform the shape of a mountain after like less than a day. So, you know, with like a platoon cooperating at least.
Yeah. Normal thing to do, by the way, for the Federation. Just let's take down a mountain. You know, let's just bombard
it. Listen, you have to understand, the Federation is all about the protection of Earth.
Time to terraform using our gun tanks.
Terraform is a portmanteau of tear and form.
God,
we're gonna tear that mountain apart. Yeah.
God, but yeah, like this thing, you know, it's not as significantly different, but it is neat seeing like the ways in which they change it. Like the upper body is a lot bulkier, and it has like a fancy backpack what like opens, and I believe that's like where the reloading mechanism is, if I'm remembering my playing the really bad video game Crossfire on the PS3 correctly. Yes. It basically, the backpack has like rows of shells in it. You know, it opens up and it uses like little arms to reload them. It's really cool, actually. Game has a lot of cool detail. I'm sad that it's absolute garbage. Don't play it. I got it for 99 cents with free shipping. I did not enjoy it still.
Wow.
I wanted my 99 cents back.
Actually, something that this mass production type lacks that the original gun tank has is loops for the winches in the front. There are some eye holes that can, to my mind, can only be used for some sort of winch or towing, which I think speaks again to the idea that the gun tank was built for a kind of war that was obsolete by the time it was built. Because nothing else in this dude's life has wheels.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I didn't notice that on the original gun tank. It does just have like tow winches there, huh? Interesting.
You keep creating evocative images, and now I want like the gun tank and the gun cannon holding ropes, trying to haul the like the gun tank is stuck in mud.
God,
pull.
Like, imagine an episode where White Base, you know, runs out of fuel and needs to be like dragged somewhere. The gun tank is your guy, but that just never happened.
Yeah, that's true. We had to have episodes where they ran out of salt rather than fuel. It's fine. God, I love that episode. But and then so we talked about a couple of variants now, and so far, you know, we've had two where they have normal bodies, and we've had, like, the ground assault type has more of a fixed body. Now we have the most fixed body of all, because the other one to talk about is the RMV-1 Gun Tank 2. Mm-hmm. This thing is... I kind of love it, and I kind of hate it.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Oh my goodness,
do you like
so
battle tech?
Yeah, do you like battle tech? Because this looks like...
Tall boy, you're right about that.
It has foregone, like, the form of a mobile suit even further. Even though it is built like a tank that a child has, like... Like, if you told a child to make a tank, this feels like what they would draw. Because it has, like, a rotating torso still, kind of. Like, and you can still see, like, the vestiges of, like, a torso and a head here. But really, mm-hmm. like... It's just a really tall tank at this point. It's all it is. This is just a tank. What, like, you've just made it tall.
Okay, so that gray bit in the middle, right, that you can see, that, like, it looks like accordioned-like material, right?
Or stacked discs, maybe.
So I want to believe that this thing can stretch to get even taller to, like, intimidate predators.
see, I read these as sliding discs, and that's where the rotation happens.
Yes.
But yeah.
That makes more sense, but I like the idea of it, like,
but if it jack in the boxes.
To scare off a mecha lion. Yeah.
And, like, it has arms still, but they're not arms. They can just, like, rotate, like, 180 degrees. Like, they can go up and down. That's it. But, like, You're not really rotating them on any other axes because the torso is going to do it. Like, this is just, like, the most overdone tank I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
is what
this looks like someone just having a wild time kitbashing a tank and a battleship turret and, yeah, some sort of mecha middle layer to sandwich between them.
Yeah, it's really odd. The other thing that gets me is, like, so it's got two cannons on the top of it that are, like, attached to the head, and the head can rotate on its own as well, I guess. So you've got, like, a multi-rotating tower of guns, and it's just, like, it's just such a strange machine to me. They have added the little toe things again to the front
of
it. It's got the chains there again. This is just the Federation going back to just leaning in on it being a vehicle again. It also has, like, a little viewport at the bottom, but, like, I want to imagine that it's piloted from the top still. Like,
maybe it's a team.
I
mean, the original gun tank's a two-person crew.
Yeah, the gun tank is a two-person crew. That is true. And because normally you have, like, the one in the torso and then the one in the head. Let me see if it says... yes, it has a gunner and a pilot. Okay. I guess the pilot in this case, rather than being located in the torso, is just at the bottom. Easy job for him if they start getting attacked. He can just leave. He can just decide, well, I'm done. Whereas if you're in
Imagine
that canopy...
being like the biggest target on the battlefield, you're not moving, you're so tall, and you're drawing so much attention with all those guns. I would not want to be a gunner in that thing.
I love how the way it gets reinterpreted for different uses. Because yeah, this original MSV drawing is super battle tech. You know, you nailed it in one. But when it shows up in animation a few times, it's really just turret on turret on turret, and it loses a bit of that battle techiness. But then it shows up in the Gearin's Greed game, and it's just been smooshed, like you have a burger that's too tall to eat in one bite. Just sort of smoosh it all together.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because, like, this is a thing you run into a lot with, like, things that are in MSV or, like, did not appear extensively in animation. Sometimes, like, the numbers get fudged on, like, the heights or, like, you know, things like that. You can see, like, Gundam Battle Operation 2, which, even though it goes for, like, a more realistic aesthetic, goes for making it, like, its full glorious height. So it looks like a
this
1950s
looks like Rob the Nintendo
robot
yes!
like,
gone
yes!
evil.
Exactly. Like, my brain was thinking of
this
it.
This is
as,
his
like,
final
oh,
smash. Oh, no.
You see that light on the cockpit? That's the light of hate.
But, yeah, and then, like you had mentioned, though, in Gearin's Greed, which... is like a grand strategy game, you know, it's a game that is like designed around being like, you know, you're commanding battalions of mobile suits from like a really large map, like you're not doing like individual pilot battles, and because of that, like, they almost put it in more of like a normal tank role, and that's why I think they squished it even, is like in the game it probably fulfills more of just being like ground tank, you know, kind of thing. I wonder if this can be used in space, actually, because I mean, if the original gun tank can be used in space, surely... Well, let me look at the rear of this. Does this have... Oh, no, it has no thrusters. Never mind. It has nothing. Shit.
That doesn't mean it can't be used in space.
Put
on a spacesuit and just fire behind you.
Right, okay, that's why the head can rotate. Okay, You have the two cannons.
No, that's not why they had. I was joking. No, that's not right.
No. So maybe
it's
not even
the
head.
It's all action reaction. It's fine. It works.
Yeah. Maybe not even the head. Maybe you just have the middle part rotate backwards, firing backwards to launch you towards your enemies, while you have the big cannons on top aimed at them.
I hate this.
And like that little machine gun that's like by like the window at the bottom is used for like, you know, if you start rotating too much from firing the top guns, it's so you can rotate the other way. It's like a little maneuvering thruster. Clearly, the least fuel efficient space vehicle ever made, because its fuel is bullets. But I love this thing now. Look, never
that's
mind.
A real
I take
idea
it back.
For space travel. There was like in the 60s to 80s, there's the idea that we would leave the solar system by using all the nuclear warheads that we weren't going to shoot at the Russians to instead load up on a space capsule that had a heavily shielded bottom. Just let the nuke go, blow it up, and ride that shockwave, and just do that over and over and over again to get to incredible, like, interplanetary speeds.
I bet the GPO-2 could do that, as just to reference something that was on your list, because it's got that big radiation shield. Clearly, you can use that to propel yourself.
The reason that never got up off the ground is because it was an idea that wasn't proposed until after there were international treaties prohibiting the use of nuclear warheads in space. It would be technically illegal to even do it
as a test.
Here's
the thing, though. It would be technically illegal, but how are they going to catch you? You're moving so fast. They'd have to do it themselves to catch you, and then how are they going to accuse you of anything?
Well, this is why they need... I'm imagining that also... Well, how do you... Do you just have thrusters, like, on the front of the... like? To stop? Like, this seems...
Oh, you're not
going to
stop, baby.
That's the problem, right? Because the more I'm thinking about this, I'm like, okay. If this
I don't
is
think this
you...
idea was ever meant for manned missions.
Oh, okay. This is just meant for, like, okay. Like, deep space probes, that kind of thing. Okay. Because I'm imagining it on a manned mission, and I'm like, wait a minute. Sure, you're going really fast now if this somehow has worked and you're not, you know, infested with radiation. But... now you're just going super fast in one direction. If something gets in the way...
You know really good at decelerating? Some really good deceleration tool. Planet surface.
Ah, yes. clearly they would just use other nukes, right? You would just rotate the ship, fire a nuke on the other side to hopefully stop you.
Well, wouldn't it be more efficient just to have like maybe a fourth of the nukes up front?
This is the Expanse prequel that I'm sure is coming any day now.
Oh my god. So besides the Gun Tank 2, the Gun Tank 2 itself is then developed into a machine from MSVR, the RMV-3M, Local Control Type Gun Tank, which now you've just made a tank again. You have, like, removed the head articulation, you have squished it down even more, you've Why?
Here's the great part. It still has some, like, articulation. It still has torso articulation, but the cannons are no longer on the torso. It's actually worse than a tank.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. The cannons are not on the rotating part. They're on the body. Why would you do this?
You're bad at this.
This is... They've, like... There's something, like, you know those images, right, that show, like, the evolution of, like, monkey to man? Like, you've got, like, an evolution of tank halfway to a man, and then they've just decided to go back to a tank again. Why? And a worse tank at that. Why?
Because as far as actual, like, evolution by natural selection goes, that's a more realistic picture.
You know,
this is carcinization, but in tank form. Eventually, everything leads back to tank shaped.
You know, it's like when you look at like cetaceans and stuff, and you realize, oh wait, they still have leg bones because these were things that went from the sea to the land and have decided, oh wait, no, I don't want to be here anymore. Goodbye. And
same.
Like, God. But this thing is, it's cute, but I hate it. But it is kind of cute in a way, because it's a very stubby tank.
Just from some MSV. This never got picked up, never got reintroduced into, I can't imagine why not.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine why, you know, people making future UC works weren't chomping at the bit to put the local control type gun tank into their
I do
work.
Love special equipment and features, large shovel.
Yes, large shovel. Listen, the front of it.
Ryu
the front
Jose
of it is a
never
bulldozer.
Had the benefit of large shovel.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, it can deploy. This is just a bulldozer with fucking guns on it. Like,
hell yeah.
What?
I mean, when you put it like that, it sounds cool.
I also love the translation on this MSVR art on one of the fancy Okawara arts where they've clearly, I think, machine translated probably because they've translated it as gunship gun tank. And I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't, these are, you're saying two different things here. This is not a gunship. this does not fit under any definition of gunship that I can think of. But you know what? That's fine. I'm sad that they went with local control. They should have just kept it as gunship gun tank.
It's a good name.
Oh my god. MSVR is, we've talked about a couple, I think. It is where ideas go to die. Poor Okawara, they're just like, you know, Okawara, please, make us some more one-year war variants. And he's just like, I don't know what to do anymore. And some of the designs in it are okay, but you get a lot of things like this where you look at it for 5 seconds and you're like, where does this fit?
I mean, speaking of the gun tank and its descendants going later into the UC, I don't know if you have plans to talk about, like, if there would be a different episode where you'd rather talk about the F-50D no. gun tank R-44.
We can talk about this. We can talk about this. Okay. We know what you like, so you can talk about this on this episode.
So this is the gun tank.
This
that
does
has,
not deserve its own episode.
I would say a featured supporting role in the beginning of Mobile Suit Gundam F-91, the film. It is a transforming gun tank descendant. It combines both gun tank and gun cannon into one jobber of a mobile suit in the narrative of that
as
film.
As nature intended.
Yeah.
It gets such a bad showing in that film because, you know, it's the one that's in... It's in a museum. It's literally...
Yeah, it does come literally out of mothballs and is piloted by a bunch of children and a crazy man. I don't think it was putting its best foot forward that day.
Our good friend Roy Jung. God. It's already outdated by the time of F-91, and it is... The thing is, I think it's kind of cool. I actually like this a lot. I'm sad that it gets a bad showing, because when I look at this... You know, I love that, like, the MS mode just has tank treads all along the back of it and, like, shove some verniers, like, in between because it still has the function as a mobile suit. It's really cool. I like it, actually. But yeah, no, it gets jobbed pretty hard. If I remember right, they can't even fire the cannons on it because, like, the one time they fire out of the top cannons, like, it just, like, misfires and the cannon blows up, if I'm remembering right. Mm-hmm.
Somebody was not using proper archival quality materials.
I don't know if Roy Jung. I'm sure he does not have a degree in a mobile suit engineering. he's like that kind of guy that, like, you know, where they get way too into, like, you know, real world wars. Like, he's wearing an Iron Cross on his chest. He's got like a weird aviator cap. He's absolutely, you nailed it on the head when you said he's crazy, because he is just, he is weird.
I do love that the wiki gives, you know, it describes its pilot complement as, you know, two pilots and two gunners. We see it piloted by seven children.
Yes.
This thing is crawling with kids when it sees action.
Yeah. Not all of them inside of it, mind you. You've got a couple of people who are just like, you know, hanging out on the top of it with, like, a bazooka, ready to shoot stuff that passes and all that.
Yes, well, and also, you gotta load those, you gotta manually load those cannons.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah.
Master grade when, Bandai? Come on, master grade, let's go.
God. That'd be amazing.
Just like little spots on the torso where you plug in the figures of children.
Hey, look, if the Act Guy is anything to go by, they probably would include that on an MG, let's be real. I love the Act Guy because it includes the orphans running across the top of it as a optional part. It's amazing.
Oh, that's amazing. I want that now.
Good kit. Very good kit. But yes. And then I guess if we talked about the Gun Tank R44, we kind of have to talk about one other suit. And this is a guest mm-hmm. episode, so I don't mind talking all these. You know what one I'm bringing up, right, Six?
Oh, the powered weapons?
No. Oh, well, actually, good idea. I forgot that this has a variant. We can talk about the powered weapons version first. But we do have something from Unicorn.
Oh, yeah, but for the other one, we're going to have to drop a special spoiler warning.
Yeah. Okay, so real quick, the Gun Tank R44 powered weapons type. Did they make it so it can't transform? Hold on, I'm looking at this.
It doesn't look transformy. I think they just welded those parts shut and put different guns
no.
on it.
They've done it again!
It's permanently doing a sit-up.
They've fucking done it again! They've decided, never mind, it doesn't need to be a mobile suit again, and they've made it... It says, like, okay...
Carcinization! Carcinization!
The wiki says
tank,
this, so...
Tankization.
Grain of salt. It does say prototype transformable. I don't believe the wiki here, because I'm looking at this. There's no way. There's just, like, the head and all that. It's not separated in the same way it used to be.
I promised you they just copy-pasted that text from...
Yeah, most assuredly. Yeah.
If this does transform, though, and that whole top bit becomes the head, then this doesn't look like a Gundam mecha anymore. That looks like Metal Gear Rex. It's that shape of head. And I kind of love that.
Yeah.
God.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, no, even MAHQ also says it's transformable. Why don't we have art of it, then? The cowards! How dare they?
Even the radomes on, I guess, its right-hand side. That's a Metal Gear Rex head.
Yeah.
That's cool. That is pretty cool.
I like it. But I want to see it transform now. How dare they? Those cowards. How would you go about making the transform? Imagine, like, if they showed off, like, a variant of the Zeta and they only showed, like, the mobile armor mode. Is what I'm getting the vibes of here, and it makes me mad imagining that they would do that.
Okay,
cowards.
I have an alternate idea. Mm-hmm. What if they did weld the pieces together, but they didn't disable the transformation? And so if you hit the transformation, the metal just
falls
bends
apart.
And breaks.
Just completely falls apart. Oh, I like the addition of headlights, I think, on the leg, the top of the leg there, by the way. Like,
Safety first.
At the front, like right above the feet, it just has headlights, is what that looks like to me. And that is beautiful. Oh my god, what a silly machine. I love it, though. Good color scheme, also.
Sort of a safety orange.
Safety first.
Stay away from this machine.
Safety first, again. That's what it's for.
See, it's got a smoke discharger. Same. five barrel finger launcher. Nice.
I'm looking at like it's interesting because it like doesn't use really big guns because like the R44 is already kind of a small mobile suit. But it uses really long guns, like looking at like the arms and stuff. All of its barrels are really long.
Yes.
Other than on the sort of what would be its right arm, it has like almost finger Vulcans, kind of like the Goof would have. But like clearly it's not a hand anymore. It's just they've decided stack four barrels on one side, stack one barrel on this side. Look, it looks kind of like a hand. Then the other one's not even trying to be anything visibly relating to, like, an arm. It's just a Gatling gun, a gun, two-barrel gun below that.
Everything on this is wheel or gun.
It's just wheels and guns. I do like the Mega Machine Cannon, the one on the quote-unquote shoulder, as they refer to it as. I guess that is the shoulder. Just being like a giant Gatling gun with four barrels, and like Grant mentioned, I do like the radome sensor package thing going on. I always love mobile suits that have that visible. I don't know about having the smoke dischargers sort of like aligned vertically, like right there though. I guess they could probably rotate. It looks like they're on little ball joints. Their orientation there disturbs me, though, because it's like, you're just going to, like, land a smoke grenade on yourself.
Yeah, if this is Metal Gear Solid, specifically MGS5.
Five, yeah.
Then it's the perfect, it's the perfect plan. You become invisible.
I'm just, as you mentioned that, I'm just like, oh no, I'm remembering that video in my head of, like, throwing a smoke grenade on a Jeep. God.
You gotta fill the smoke discharges with Wolbachia.
All right.
I do like that if these forward treads have legs, whether it does or not, the vents along the side, it inherited from the R-44. I like that vent shape. It seems like something that could be a eventual evolution from, like, say the Alex or the Mark II's lower legs, mm-hmm. the way those vents work.
Yeah, I can definitely see that for sure. It's got that sort of like a pentagonal shape, whether like mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. the top of it, you know, elongated. But yeah, this thing can go backwards fast, assuming it doesn't transform, because all of its thrusters are pointed forward. You know, which, yeah. Fine.
This powered weapons one is so interesting, because if it does transform, it looks bad. And if it doesn't transform, why does it have all these things that kind of look like it might?
Yeah, what a strange machine. I will say a little callback thing. I do like that it kind of almost goes back to the original gun cannon, or gun tank canopy, with the little head there.
It's that elongated shape, yeah.
But yeah, otherwise, this is just a tank again. This is just like an overcomplex, like, tank from, like, G.I. Joe or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I guess that's all the R-44, unless there's no other variant, okay.
Yeah, so, Grant, are you okay with us talking about a minor suit from Gundam Unicorn? Full red alert here, folks. This is where we start talking about a machine from Gundam Unicorn.
Yeah. In fact, like I said at the beginning of the recording, I just decided, like, okay, everybody's talking about this Gundam stuff for most of my life, but it seems really heavy now for some reason. Why is that? It's because it was the 40th anniversary. okay, fine. I'm going to see what I can find. And so what do? I just see what's available on Netflix. And at the time, the only Gundam on Netflix was Unicorn. So that's where I started.
Perfect. So yeah. For anyone else, you'll have heard the little spoiler warning. We're going to talk about a Unicorn suit. If you're not down for that, you should tap out.
Yep. Very minor Unicorn suit, should know.
Maybe I have weird opinions because I started in the place where people say is the worst place to start.
Wait. If you started with a Unicorn, maybe you're with me and you think the Phoenix is cool.
I think all three of them are cool in their own ways. Except I will say I don't like the Banshee Norn at all. Banshee should have kept its original armaments the whole time.
I will forgive any love of the Phoenix if you can at least say the Norn is bad. That's fine. but yeah, Unicorn is not. I am of the opinion, and this is someone who I am someone who started with Unicorn. I got into Gundam in 2010, and it was the same thing where I was like, oh well. Clearly, like anything normal, I'm just gonna watch whatever's newest, right? Like that's the way it should be done. Mm-hmm. And it gave me wrong brain about Gundam and doing like reads of it for a while because, like, you know, it with so many Gundam things, especially later on being by different people, you're basically reading people's own sort of like takes on the universe and their own sort of like. I joked about it with Yaz before we started recording, but like people's historical revisionism of UC. Which isn't necessarily, like, the worst thing to do, but part of me does wish I had just started with, like, First Gundam and watched it in chronological order. That's usually my recommendation.
Which is so much easier now than it was 3-4 weeks ago, even.
Yes, that's true. And especially 10 years ago when looking for, you know, like, some shows only exist as fan subs, like, that long ago, you know, like, I think Double Zeta, I don't think, had official subs when I got into Gundam, nor did, like, Gundam X, I don't think. Like, a lot of shows just didn't have subs, really. Or they had subs and they weren't good subs. But yeah. So the D50C Lodo. This is a mobile suit used by Echoes in Gundam Unicorn. It was developed by SNRI. SNRI being an important company by the time of F91, because they are the ones who sort of basically supplanted Anaheim Electronics as like the major developer, which I've seen it mentioned before, so I feel like I should mention it just in case anyone's thinking it. SNRI conveniently seems to have come into existence around the same time that Sunrise was bought by Bandai. And some people think that SNRI might be like, especially with them now being paired with Bandai and Bandai making the model kits, SNRI might be a little wink nod to Sunrise. That's of course fan speculation. Don't want to say anything definitively, but you know,
I prefer SSRIs.
Don't we all?
I think it's interesting that SNRI is fictionally credited with the Lotto and they're famous for the F91 suits because it means they specialize in tiny boys.
Yes, they do, because the Lotto is weird because this almost feels like a Macross design to me, like a Cheyenne, like all the Destroids, you know, like the Cheyenne and all that from
Macross. Or a very simple Transformer, that like a Happy Meal Transformer.
Oh god, yeah, I could definitely see that. It's really weird. So you look at the mobile suit, and I didn't really do breakdowns of the gun tank in the same way as usual, because everyone knows what the fucking gun tank is. But like with this, you know, you look at the head, you got a head covered in little orange sensors, which I kind of love. Like, it's got like, you know, the primary one that looks like a normal head sensor, but you got like a forehead one. You've got ones on either side of the middle of the head there. You got a really big one on the left side. And as you go down, this thing is so boxy, and I love that. You get, like, a torso where, again, Gundam, standard Gundam-type torso, even. It has, like, chest vents and everything. It's got, like, a segmented torso there. But it's just so boxy and, like, sort of, like, squished that it looks really unique. Mm-hmm. You got boxy. The upper arms being boxy is another place where it's really weird, because normally on upper arms on mobile suits, they're very rounded. Like, they're square, but they're rounded squares. These are just, like, almost, you know, flat and angular in a way that's really cool.
But with a bulge, it has biceps.
It does have biceps.
And bulging triceps on the opposite side.
Yep. And then you have, instead of having forearms, it's just got guns. Like most hand-based guns, though, they have still decided to give it, like, I think it's 5-barrel. I'm pretty sure that's supposed to... it is 4-barrel, and then there's a little weird notch on the top. Yeah, it's still supposed to be evoking hands. I knew it. Okay. And then, it does have little, like, sub-arms inside of it in case it does need to use hands, for any particular reason, opening colony doors, etc.,
But the sub-arms have a secret.
Oh, yes, they have a little torch?
Yeah, they have the beam burner, which is like a plasma torch beam saber.
Yeah, I guess that you can use that. I think the problem is, if you're in a Lodo and you're that close to another mobile suit, especially in this era, you're probably dead. I mean, I guess it's not bad to give people last-ditch efforts, but you know.
They'll just step on you.
Yeah.
I mean, there were times when people got close to Hayato and he survived, so it's not impossible.
Yeah, but this thing is 12 meters high in an era where, like, average is 20.
Yeah, if not more. Yeah. Because, you know, Unicorn being, like, still the same as our listeners will know, the CCA era, where all the mobile suits are big, because we covered every fucking CCA suit, because the dice is like this sometimes.
I just built a Jagadoga yesterday. It's looking nice.
It's a good suit. The high grade or Re-100? Just curious.
I got a high grade, so it's going to be in scale with my RG new.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like the Lodo though, 12 meters. This is short compared to the F91. Or the Victory. This is...
And yet it has three fucking people in it. Four people in it.
And am I reading this right? It can carry up to 8 if you're using it as a troop transport?
Yeah, I think they hang out.
Where
in
do
the...
they go?
No, this really is the Bradley. Oh my god.
I think for some reason my brain is wanting to say the legs. Like the legs actually have like a hollowed out area for transport. I don't know why that's
so. There's just here. Like some benches and a folding table to play cards inside each leg.
Yeah. Let me see, because we actually have a picture of them deploying. It might be next to the leg. Okay, here we go. Just to link it to have everyone see it. There we are. It's somewhere by the leg. It might be. I don't know.
I hate this.
Just got a little area people can unload from there. Yeah.
That's. Okay, that's the...
I just got some spare boys in my leg.
I want to imagine, like, given the way it's designed and given how thin that hull is, that they're just standing upright. Like, maybe they have, like, you know on the bus, like, how they have, like, the little ceiling...
The handles?
Handles, yeah. I imagine they're just standing there on ceiling handles, hoping to not bump into each other while it's moving around.
They're coming out next to the tread, but the tread is the entire width of the leg. That's a crotch port.
Okay,
The people are in the crotch.
Yeah, it's so thin though, like, because you see what it looks like in mobile suit mode, like that.
Yeah,
there's a very small area for them to hang out in. Also, I don't know if I want to hang out in there, because that's where like the legs rotation happens and all that. This is ill thought out, in my opinion. Fucking
okay, I tell you what though, you've got like 8 guys standing in this hallway.
Uh-huh.
They've got nothing to look at, just the walls. Sell that for advertising.
This is just a bullshit. So this is clearly the addition of it being like a weird APC troop transport is clearly some kind of thing that was snuck into it by like an ex-Zeon engineer who actually dislikes like the Federation and ECOS, so that whenever it gets shot down, it just takes out more troops. Whenever one of these is destroyed.
Gosh, no, just no. This is something that was put in for narrative reasons, and the mechanical designer was just gagged to let it go through. There's no way this was part of the Lotto's design from the blank page.
I don't know. The problem with all the ECOS designs is befitting them being like weird spec ops. They love doing like this tactical bullshit.
Oh wait, no. I think it actually matches the rear in tank mode where the hatch is. You can kind of see the outline of it.
Oh,
so they come out of the anus.
Okay, yeah, that's still a
it
very thin little
out troops.
No. and if you look at that hatch in mobile suit mode, it's what becomes the backpack. The people live in the backpack.
Oh, that's awful. That's still awful, actually.
It's very bad.
That would be really nauseating.
Yeah, no, like, sure, it's still vertically oriented, so I guess they're not getting, like, thrown about or rotated about. That's, ooh, I don't like that. That would suck. You just immediately deploy the troops, they all remove their helmets and throw up afterwards.
I mean, it makes a kind of sense. If you're transporting something, where do you put it? In your backpack.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Can't argue with it.
God. Anyway, to continue actually looking at the design instead of just complaining about this one aspect that's going to drive me insane until I die, it does have, like, you know, your standard skirt armor, where it's, like, movable, divided. You've got pretty normal thigh, like, just very much any other mobile suit's thighs. Then you hit the leg where you get the tank treads because, you know... and if you look at the backpack, you also got some tank treads because this is supposed to be the precursor to the gun tank R-44. So has kind of a similar layout for like the treads and even the transformation itself. Mm-hmm. And this does transform. It flattens. It's much more, again, even compared to like the gun tank R-44, it's a lot more like a tactical, like a weird... It doesn't resemble a mobile suit when it is transformed. It does just look like a really weird looking vehicle.
Yeah, this thing has definitely invaded the Gulf Coast region to promote democracy.
That's
what this looks like. Yeah,
befitting of ECOS, honestly.
Yeah,
and then one of the cool things on this, a thing that I always like, is it does have hard points on the shoulders. The standard version of it has like a little dinky, well, it looks like a very dinky machine gun, especially considering. You think about the size of this mobile suit being 12 meters tall. That's a small gun on the shoulder by default. And then on the other side,
the default gun is for anti-infantry. Like,
oh, of course. Okay.
This is crowd suppression, clearly.
Again, befitting of ECOWAS being, you know, weird special forces.
When you're ECOWAS, you deploy troops specifically to bully whoever you're fighting. So you deploy the Lota when you're fighting people, and then when you're fighting mobile suits, you deploy something a little bigger.
Yeah, and then it also has, like, a searchlight on there, too, on the other side. Its alternate hardpoints, like, setups are, it can just equip long-range cannons, which are just, like, your standard gun tank kind of cannons. They're apparently 200mm cannons. The thing with Gundam and measurements on the cannons is it's never clear if it's talking about the barrel size, the shell size, the actual bullet size. It's really weird, because these are apparently 200mm, but these are clearly, especially given the size of the mobile suits, really small cannons.
Yeah, that must be barrel length in this instance.
It's really weird, because, yeah, I've had this question before when looking at, like, Gundam stuff, because when they attach numbers, and honestly, it sometimes just feels better if they didn't attach the numbers, because the numbers, you start noticing these, like, things where it's like, this seems wrong. And, of course, as a reference to the power type gun tank R-44, it also has basically the exact same design of Mega Machine Cannon that it can equip. That actually attaches more to the backpack than the shoulder. Which means, theoretically, you could put the two cannons on the shoulder as well as the Mega Machine Cannon if you really wanted to. Probably unnecessary, sure, but when you can, why not? We've already done an episode on the Strike Gundam. Sometimes you just do things because you can.
True. True.
The Lodo is one of those designs that is also so small that when you decide to buy a model kit of it, they just give you two. much like the ball.
They always travel in pairs.
So the Lodo, though, its aesthetic is really weird because, you know, we talked about it earlier, like, with it looking like a McDonald's Transformer, almost. But, like, it just doesn't... Even, like, with its relation to the gun tank R-44, the R-44 still looks like a mobile suit. This just looks weird.
I just love that its transformation is doing a sit-up, and its backpack falls down.
Yep. That's it's it. A very...
Two steps.
It's a very simple transformation, too, which, honestly, I kind of have to give it props for that, in a way. Because, like... The tank mode and the MS mode don't really look like each other. Like, it does look like, you know, an actual transformation. You know, like, frequently I complain about MA modes on mobile suits where it's just, like, you can tell that the legs are the thrusters because the feet are just pointed down. This one, like, you can't even really... Like, even the feet look weird because of, like, the design. they just look like two random little armor pieces at the front of the tank mode. As opposed to, like, again, something like the Zeta, where it's just like, oh, you just kicked your feet back. simple transformation, it just does sit-ups. Otherwise, like, in animation, when we see this thing, I don't think it really gets that good of a showing either.
No, I mean, the one pilot does, but the Lotto itself is not even there for his crowning moment.
No, it's not. Like, the Lotos, you watch them get, like, just kind of decimated by the, I believe at the time all that they're fighting is the Kshatriya. And then you get a couple of them showing up, on Palau a couple episodes later, on 3, I think. That's where you see the, subarm have the torch, because it tries to do that to the Sinanju, of all things, and it's like, this is a terrible idea. It just grabs it. That's the other thing. The subarms are so thin and kind of weak that the Sinanju can just grab it barehanded with its manipulator and just snap it. Not really, like, definitely when you take into account things like, you know, it having an anti-personnel machine gun, this definitely just feels like something that is put on colonies to suppress protesters and people. Like, it feels like a cop machine. It sucks, actually. the more I think about it, this is kind of, you know...
It's bad.
It's bad. Because, like, everything it uses by virtue of it being a 12-meter mobile suit, you realize when you look at the missiles, these are tiny-ass missiles it's using, too. Like, you know, you look at something like the Zissa, which is covered in missiles, and the missiles are pretty thick, all things considered, like when you think about its size relative to the size of the missiles. This thing's hands open up, and this is already something small. And you've just got these little rockets, basically. And as cool as it is that, like, I love, like, when you have a panel open and it has missiles and stuff, it's really dinky. This thing is just, like, the more I look at it, I'm just like, this feels like it can't really do anti-mobile suit operation at all. Like,
I mean,
especially
those cannons
in,
can penetrate armor.
In the, well, the problem is, the pilot is behind armor, and, you know, you're not, like... I guess, like, if it's a 200-millimeter cannon, like, maybe, like, those cannons can hit something. You probably need some pretty good aim to hit with those, though, and...
No.
I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I'm looking at it, I'm just like, huh. I'm trying to imagine this in any practical scenario against a Unicorn-era suit, and it's like, no, it doesn't. Does it even have beam weapons? Other than the beam burner, whatever the fuck that means. I'm sorry, the name
Not
Beam
much,
Burner...
Not much, apparently.
Yeah, well, the name Beam Burner is just bothering me, because I'm like, it looks like a torch or something, rather than like a beam weapon, even, like a saber or something.
It's a phone that you use to call your beam dealer when you don't want anybody listening in.
God. Yeah. Professor Minofsky, I need more beams. But yeah, like, it's all solid weapons. Like, all of its weapons are just, you know, standard, like, machine guns, machine cannons, little small missiles. Oh, I guess, okay. It can either have 12 small missiles, 3 per section, or 4 medium missiles. I'm glad that they have... What uses a large missile? Why would you call them meteor? Hold on. This is just me getting mad at this naming structure now. Who's the arbitrator of what is small, medium, and large here? Because if there's a medium, that implies the existence of a large.
Well, if you go to the SRI's, you know, conventions and you know, methodology, they have a specific layout. It has to be between the sizes of 60 and 100 meters to be considered a large missile.
60 and 100
wait. I just picked a number. That's
yeah,
way too
no,
big.
No, no, yeah, no, no, no. But the problem is we're talking Gundam. You can't just use meters that large, because now my brain's just actually imagining it.
It's also, they can also only call it a gun tank if it comes from the RX-75 region of France.
Otherwise, right. It's just a sparkling mobile vehicle.
Yeah. Sparkling mobile vehicle. But yeah, anyway, so that's the Lodo. Again, just sorry for the more I stare at it, the more problems I had with it, actually, but...
I like looking at the Lodo, I like the way it looks and stuff. I feel like my biggest problem is that it's supposed to be convincingly like, no, this is like one of the mobile suits that triggered the movement for smaller mobile suits, right? Like, this sort of set the trajectory of things to miniaturization. But this thing sucks. It wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. It's not shown... It doesn't make a good showing for itself, and okay, maybe it does in other conflicts that we don't see, but it looks, yeah, underpowered. It looks much like its ancestor, the gun tank, a good idea for a war that it never got to fight in.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And like, That comes up with Gundam a couple of times, where we're supposed to believe something is definitely, like, really top of the line, but, like, it just gets chumped out immediately. Not UC, but C also the Wing Gundam. But, you know, like, just, yeah, weird machine. Oh, no, okay. I know we've been running a long episode. I know we've been running a long episode.
If there is
one
treaded thing left we haven't talked about, that seems like an oversight.
There is, and it's really bad, and that's why we need to talk about it. Because there is also from
hell yes, this thing Gundam, owns.
I saw this, and it was just not going to say anything. Damn it!
From a Gundam Unicorn side story, we have the GF tank,
the girlfriend tank.
The GF tank
Leave
is...
my GF alone. I love this GF.
What if we took the Lodo and we painted it in garish colors? And so I know a little bit about like the history of the suits in this. They're kind of designed as like a sort of throwback to, you know, Operation V. I think even in universe, like there's other mobile suits that are supposed to be a celebration of like, you know, Operation V and all that, and like the Gundam, the gun cannon, the gun tank. This is one of them. This is the GF tank, and the Rix 00PT GF tank. Long name. We don't really have a lot of information on it, to be fair, but I did feel the need to bring it up because also they added wings to its arms because it has a sky mode and a bull mode. Because why not, I guess. So
why be ugly in one mode when you can be ugly in three?
So this thing is kind of like a mixture
it's just
of the
so much. It's
this
just
is like
so much.
This is like the G bull mixed with like the gun tank, and it's weird. Why? It's
is
mobile...
this a combiner? Is that why it has
yes,
so many weird oversized parts? Okay.
It is too, because it does combine with the main thing. We will leave that another time, because then at that point we start talking about the G first, and now we have a 2-hour long episode.
Okay.
But,
that explains it. Okay.
Yeah, the reason it's got all these weird overhang parts is because of both it being a transformer into weird modes and because it fuses with another thing. That's why it has Gundam vents on its fucking shoulders for whatever reason.
So good.
It has these two really weirdly like large cannons on its backpack. That just stick up and over everything. Honestly, given their design, those are probably just beam cannons too.
I should think so. Yeah.
You've got the tricolor all over this thing. You've got a little tiny gun tank head that you can barely see in its normal art, because its normal art is like trying to look at it from ground level, so you don't actually get to see the top of it all too well there.
It's got like a full canopy. It almost looks like a shuttle or something, or like a fighter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You still got like the hand missile launcher things, like the because this is apparently a Lodo. This is a Lodo,
yes.
That someone hot rotted is what happened.
Yeah, 11.8 meter head height. Like from its proportions, it looks like it should be 30 meters or something. It just looks massive.
Yeah.
This is Anaheim getting their hands on a Lodo and saying, "Don't worry, I'll fix this baby up."
Yeah,
but it's
not. Yeah.
It's still a little baby.
And then yeah, so it also has a sky mode, because you know this is what our tank needed, is also a plane mode. Where
this is a plane that's like a bowling ball with wings.
Yeah, it's not really. This is like very early Gundam style like flying vehicle where. They're like, what's air resistance? It's fine.
Yeah, this thing is only aerodynamic in space, where there is no air.
Yeah, but it also has, like, the wheels for landing, which I don't think you need those in space, right? Because, theoretically, like, you're not, like, there's no gravity to drag you down. You're not landing on those wheels. It just I hate it. It's... But I had to talk about it. And then we have the bull mode, which is its replacement for the Lodo's tank mode. The bull mode is just, its legs kind of fold up, and because it got rid of the backpack treads, it's on these very stubby, thick, tiny treads. again, not the most elegant thing to see barreling at you down the battlefield with its little wings in place, too, and its
Yeah, your last words are, booster. Why does it have wings?
It's got no neck. It's like it's tucking its chin into its coat to stay warm.
Yeah. This looks like a snowman. It looks like a snowman made into a mobile suit with cannons for some reason and wings.
This is a beautiful mistake.
I love it. I hate it. I love it. Fuck. I can't decide. It's a little bit of both.
I mean, I swear I think we've talked about every treaded vehicle in the entire Universal Century at this point.
We have,
but
basically.
I just think that goes to show that how much respect designers have and love designers have for the original gun tank, even
for sure.
Though even though their designs show and the way those designs are used in narrative show that it doesn't fit. There's no place for it. Like there's no reason for this to happen, except it happened in the thing we love, and it was a goofy, lovable design.
Yeah, yeah, like.
There's something so wonderfully stubby about the original gun tank that its SD kit is just a gun tank. The head is slightly bigger and the over-shoulder cannons are smaller, and that's it. It's just a gun tank is an SD of itself.
I just have one additional detail about this GF tank we have to mention.
Okay.
What is it? So based on the information from its combined forms, we can infer that this has a psycho frame.
Mm.
Why? Why?
I don't like thinking about that. Yeah, no, that's... Unicorn side stories for a while. Most of them are bad. Last Sun, also.
I'm going to use the psycho frame to make my will manifest, and my will is for the sky mode to actually fly.
Need the psycho frame solely to get it moving.
You can change destiny, Tokyo Muko.
God. This is a mobile suit made in 0096. This is... No. Anyway. Well, I'm glad our guest getting the gun tank has managed to make us clear out every Federation aligned,
another
you know, treaded
one. Boom.
Unit in
another
existence.
One.
I can't think of any more. I'm trying to. I think all the treaded ones left are all like Zeon ones or actual tanks, and I'll be damned if I'm ever talking about the fucking Type 61 tank on a podcast. No. That's not what this is about.
Not doing it. And hey, we now get to add one more to the tally. We now have also covered mobile vehicles, not just mobile fighters, mobile horses, mobile armors, mobile tanks.
You know, mobile horse? Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yep.
Yes.
We sure did.
That was a long time ago. That's why.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Grant, thank you so much for joining us for this way too long episode about every treaded thing ever made.
Look, it was fun. I had fun.
Now there's no need to dread the treads. They are all behind you. You can see them as they are. What happened when there was no set of footprints? Oh, that's when we were on tank treads.
Well, Grant, where can people find you on the internet if they wanna do that?
I can be found living my best life that law allows on Twitter at Gen Ironicus. That's GEN_IRONICUS. As far as Gundam related things that I do, the biggest is a two player tabletop RPG I published it's coming up on its first anniversary, I think, called Last Shooting. It is a game about mech duels, and through play you define more and more about both your pilot and your machine, and then you start destroying those aspects you defined in order to get a competitive edge. As far as Gundam fandom related things I make, I have a long running Let's Play series on YouTube, or you can just go to chipandironicus.com to find our directory there. I have an actual play show called 6 Feet Under, where we play all sorts of tabletop games, including a one-shot of Last Shooting, so you can see how it plays with me playing it. But we do a whole lot of other games beside. I have a Riverdale recap podcast called Sex Archie, a history show that my wife and I do called History Honeys, where we take turns teaching each other about cool stuff in the past. I make a lot of stuff.
You certainly do. I run a tabletop campaign there, you know, podcast, and I might have to check out Last Shooting. That sounds cool.
I hope you like it. The last goal, secret goal that I'd never shared with anybody out in the world is that someone else's AP show would cover it, and that happened, and like I've exceeded all of my wildest dreams for this little weird little two player game I published.
Mm-hmm. It's a good goal to have.
Yeah. Dylan, what about you?
I'm at lowpolyrobot on twitter.com. I just kind of tweet about robots and video games. I don't really do a lot of shows or anything. Damn, I feel upstaged. But I mostly just post cool stuff. People seem to like it when I do. And hopefully... If you're listening to the show, if you're at this section, you probably already know me, so you know.
It's what, episode 50 some of them?
40 something, I think.
40 some,
right? I think. I'm bad with
numbers.
We'll
find out when we save.
Yeah, we'll find out when we save. But yeah.
If you want to find me, I'm on Twitter at sixdetmar, S-A-X-D-E-T-T-M-A-R. Honestly, don't bother. My tweets aren't very good. You should go to scanlandmedia.com or patreon.com. So scanlandmedia, that's where the good shit is. I do a lot of podcasts. And God, what are we even? It was 0079, wasn't it? I don't even, can't even tell at this point.
Technically.
Hayato Kobayashi quotes. No, I won't die here. I don't know.
Fair enough.
We're gonna take a quote from when Hayato was like passed out for two episodes at the end, right?
Yeah. Amuro to the rescue again. All right, peace, everybody.
Peace.
Amuro. 振り向かないで 宇宙の彼方に輝く星は アムロ お前の生まれた故郷だ 覚えているかい 少年の日のことを 温かいぬくもりの中で目覚めた朝を アムロ 振り向くな ただ明日へと明日へと永遠